in verse number 1, and we'll start reading it, and we'll read verse down through verse number 4. The Bible said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Let's bow for just a moment of prayer, and then I'll share with you the direction of the series. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the great honor it is that it's ours to be in Your family by grace through faith. Thank You, Lord, for saving us 27 years ago, and it was and is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. Lord, I thank You for saving me. Thank You for getting into my way and Lord, interrupting my life and my path and getting my attention and drawing me, Lord, with cords of love to Yourself. And thank You for what You did and what You're continuing to do, Lord, in our life. I thank You for it. Father, I pray You will take the message this morning and unctionize it and give it power. Lord, may it go forth, Lord, and find lodging in our heart. Lord, may it be the good seed that is sown in the good soil of our heart and life, that it might bring forth fruit. Dear Lord, I'm convinced that every time that we come in contact with the Word of God, Lord, that You mean for that Word to enrich our life and affect our life. Lord, I believe that. Lord, many times our heart is not in the condition to receive it. And Lord, even as I pray now, may the congregation pray as well. Lord, prepare my heart. Prepare my heart to receive the Word of God. Lord, maybe the heart is hardened and maybe the heart is carnal or fleshly. And Lord, I pray You deal with us all here today. Lord, we're too close to the coming of Christ to miss out on any golden opportunity to hear the Word of God. I pray You will direct my thoughts here today. Speak to me and speak through me. And I'll be careful to give You the glory and the honor and the praise. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name, and for our sakes we pray, amen. There are several verses or passages of Scripture that takes and hooks together two very important subjects that concerns the believer. And one of those subjects is our living. Our living. How we live is a very important subject to God. I believe that's pretty evident because we have a Bible that is filled with instruction on how to live. What to do, what not to do. How to live, how not to live. Things to be involved in and things to stay away from. So our living is a vital part of our life. Amen. In fact, I believe it would help us if we would get more concerned about our living. Amen. I think it would help us if we'd get more concerned about how we live. Amen. The second subject that is connected with that I want to use is that's very important to God and very important in the Bible and should be important to you. It's not only our living, but our leaving. Now this Bible talks a lot about our living, but it also talks a lot about our leaving. And I just want to tell you this morning, whether it be a disappointment or whether it would be a great announcement or a refresher, is that you are leaving. It don't matter how deep you try to drive the tent stakes. It don't matter how much plans you try to make. It does not matter, my friend, what you've got going on. Everybody listening to this preacher today, including this preacher, is eternity-bound people. You're not staying here. But what I want to do in this message or these messages is I want to preach on living the living life. Living the living life. Everybody ought to be able to tell by how that we live that we're leaving. Amen. Everybody that watches your life, and by the way, let me just let you in on a little secret. People are watching you. People in the neighborhood are watching you. People at church are watching you. People on the job are watching you. What does your life say? Now, I didn't ask you, what does your lips say? I want to know what your life is saying. Is your life telling people, I'm leaving? That's what is on my mind. You know the old songwriter, who was it, Rusty Goodman or whatever, that wrote that song, I've got leaving on my mind. I've got leaving. I want to ask you this morning, do you have leaving? Not leaving the service, hurry up preacher, we got to go somewhere. I'm not talking about that leaving. I'm talking about the sure enough leaving. I'm talking about leaving this life, leaving this world, and headed to the eternal. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. What is your life saying to others? I think if we'd be honest, most people today, their life is saying, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. I'm living for the here and now. This is my world. This is my life. And this is my focus. This is what I'm interested in. Well, God knows whether that's so or not in our lives. And that will probably be a battle that you're going to face and fight all the days of your life, is that battle of, am I living to stay or am I living to leave? Which life is going to be in control? See, a believer is a two-natured person. We have the flesh nature that was given to us at our first birth. And that birth and that nature hooks us up with this world. And we live that life in this world and for this world and of this world. But when a person is born again, when a person is born anew, when a person is born from above, he is given God's nature, a divine nature that hooks you up with the world to come. Hallelujah. But God's people are a leaving people, and we should be living in light of leaving. Are we living the leaving life? Hallelujah. I just like it. I just like the title. I'm about to have a fit over the title. Amen. Living the leaving life. Every step you take is one more step toward the house. Hallelujah. Every step you take is one more step away from this world. God's people are a leaving people. Hallelujah, Brother Seals. Glory to God. I like it, don't you? Well, in our text, and I'll come back to it later, but in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's very apparent that in verse 1 through verse number 4, it deals with our life, with our leaving. It deals with our leaving, and I believe it's set forth very clearly in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Then notice the change of tune in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And we could read, well, let's just read on. I start to say we could read on. Nothing I could say be bigger than what the Bible says. So let's read on. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked. There's ED on that, past tense. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived. ED, did you notice? When ye lived in them, but now. God's people has a but now in their life. Amen. There, can I say something here? Well, I'm seeing a lot more than I can get out. There is a big difference between your pre-converted days or pre-converted life and your post-converted life. There's a big difference. He's showing that here in verse number 7. He said, in the which also ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. See, there's a connection between your walk and your life. Amen. You walk according to the life you're living. People can tell by watching your walk what life you've got or if you've got life. Amen. Amen. I believe God's people ought to pay attention to our walk and our talk because that reveals our life. But look at verse 8. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Well, I can't stop yet. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then it begins to deal with wives. Say amen, husbands. Then it deals in verse 18, and then it deals with husbands in verse 19. Say amen, ladies. Aren't you glad the same Bible deals with both? And then verse 20 deals with the children. Say amen, parents. And then in verse 21 deals with the parents. Say amen, children. Amen. What is the point? The point is, he went from dealing with our leaving in the first four verses to our living in the rest of the chapter. Why? Because our living should come out of the motive, the drive, the focus, the reality of our leaving. You can't expect to do verse 5 down through verse 21 or actually through the rest of the chapter, even the rest of the book, in fact. You can't expect to do that if you don't have that leaving life. See, you can't live a life you don't have. See, you've got to have the leaving life before you can live the leaving life. See, a lot of people, my friend, are trying to live what they don't have. I preached a funeral this week. Boy, was that an experience. You know what they played for the closing song? After I'd got through preaching and giving the gospel, they played loud, bad boys. What you going to do when they come for you? Now, how'd you like to be in that atmosphere? Now, I was dealing with one of the grandchildren, which I've dealt with him before, 37 years old. 37 years old, and he told me that he had gotten saved many years ago. He's 37 and he's an alcoholic. I called his name. I said, well, how? Tell me about when you got saved and how long it affected you. Guess what? 30 days. He supposedly got saved and it did not last 30 days. And he's been an alcoholic and a drunk since then. And that's been years. He's 37 now. I said, I can't tell you one way or the other whether you did or didn't get saved. I don't have that knowledge or authority, but I tell you what I do think. I can give you my opinion. In light of what this Bible teaches, you didn't bit more get saved than a goat. Why would I want to trust a supposed profession that didn't even have me going to church for 30 days, that did not deliver me from the taste of alcohol? My friend, listen, for years, I junk it, and I did do that. I junked my profession that I had, that I made when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Did not change my mind about sin. Did not change my attitude about sin. I was in it. I loved it. I made plans on it. I paid for it. And I couldn't wait to get it more. Amen. January 20th, 1981. Have y'all ever heard that date before? Can I tell you what it is? That's the day, my friend, that God showed me that all I had was a profession. All I had was religion. That I was not saved. That I was not His. I did not have that life. That's why I wasn't living it. And I junked that profession that I made with its baptismal certificate. I junked it, hallelujah. I want to tell you, brother, I got saved on January 20, 1981. I got birthed into the family. Have I been perfect? Not before nor since. I've never laid claim to perfection. Never, never, never. I think we're to strive for it. I think we're to try our best to do it, get as close to it as we can every day. And we all fail. We all come short. And I tell you, buddy, it's been different since that day. I've not been all that I should be. I've not been all that I could be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Why? Because I got life. I got saved. I got a Lord that loves me. And He put His Spirit inside me. And it's been different ever since. Hallelujah. The reason I lived the way I did when I was a teenager is because let me just say it this way. I was living the only life I had. It's as normal for a sinner to sin as it is for a dog to bark. Now, a dog's not a dog because he barks. But he barks because he is a dog. I sinned because I was a sinner. Are you listening? But I got saved. But here's the thing that Paul is pointing out, not just in this passage. And we're probably going to look at some others here before we leave this morning. That shows us that God hooks up our leaving with our living. And many of those places, I'm thinking right now, probably all of them, He puts our leaving in front of our living. He deals with that first. He don't deal with our living first and then move to the leaving. He deals with our leaving first and then moves to our living. Hey man, I like that. Can I give you another passage? We're more or less just introducing the subject here this morning. Turn, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. We'll start in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Amen. Look at verse 11. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, whereat? In this present world. Now look at verse 13. While verse 12 is in action, we should be doing verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sounds like a leaving verse to me. Verse 12 looks like a living verse. Verse 13 is a leaving verse. Amen. Living has a lot to do with how you leave. Amen. I don't know that you can leave right if you don't live right. Are you listening? A lot of people in Rogersville area, a lot of people, my friends, claiming to go to heaven when they die. And they're not the least bit interested in living right. They don't have no problems, my friend, with lying and cheating and fornicating and everything else and gambling and all of those things and many, many more. But then they'll tell you, just like that man did, I know I'm saved. This was his words. He said, I know I'm saved. I am just extremely backslid. If what I got, supposedly got from God, did not work over 30 days, I don't know that I'd say much about it. I don't know that I'd say a whole lot about it. Would you? Amen. Amen. Because this Bible tells us a lot about the life that He gives you when He saves you is found. In fact, verse 11, that's the verse that shows our salvation. That's how you get life. And we'll deal with that a little later on. Not today, but in another message. But it shows us in verse 11 how that we receive life. And then in verse number 12, that life is revealed. That life is acted out. That life is lived out. But then verse number 13 is what we're doing and why we're living the way we're living is because we're leaving. Are you listening? Verse 13 shows us we're leaving, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Or let's turn to another passage quickly. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I like to hear those pages turning. That makes the devil nervous. Because he don't want you in your Bible. That's right. Because he knows if you get in your Bible, the Bible will get in you, and then he's in trouble. He can only work mainly through ignorance. Amen. If you don't know it, he can take advantage of you. But if he comes dealing with you and you say, hey, you can't deal with me about that. I belong to I'm a child of God. And I know this, what the Bible says. He goes off over the hillside. Amen. But look at chapter 3 and 1 John 3 and verse 1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, right now, not in eternity, but right now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, is it not very plain to see that verse 2 deals with our leaving? He's going to appear. He's going to appear, and we're going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Does that not deal with our leaving? Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? The coming of the Lord. And our leaving to go with Him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. There you are. Another passage that hooks our leaving up with our living, or vice versa. Hooks our living up with our leaving. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Well, no. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Amen. John chapter 14, look at verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let me stop right there just quickly. Comment the fact that He is addressing their troubled heart in this life, how they were living. He had just told them in the previous chapter, the latter part of chapter 13, that He was going to leave them. That it was His time. He was headed to the cross. That He was going to die. And they were sad and they were disturbed and they were brokenhearted and they were discouraged. They were troubled. So He's dealing with how they were living. If you're troubled inside, it will show up in how you live. If you have a troubled heart, it will show up most of the time in the way that you live. Not only the way you live, but how you look. If you are troubled inside, it will affect how you live. It will affect how you look. Jesus knew they were disturbed. Jesus knew they were troubled. Jesus knew what there was going on the inside just by looking at them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So He's dealing with their living. Now look in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, where's that at? He went from earth to heaven in one verse. He dealt with the earthly in verse 1. You're troubled. You are troubled. You are living with a troubled heart. But in the next verse, He took a trip quickly to heaven. At least with His conversation. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Here we go. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what has He done? What has He done in this text? He dealt with their living, and then He moved quickly to their leaving, as if to let them know that that'll be the permanent cure for a troubled heart. There's nothing wrong with you that one quick trip to heaven wasn't fixed. There's nothing going on in your life, your home, your community, or your world, my friend, far as you're concerned, that a quick trip to glory would not take care of. Hey, man. Boy, listen, I'm telling you, it's going to take care of everything. It's going to take care of all physical problems. Amen. I know this is simple, but it'll mean something to you if you're sick, but there's no sickness there. Are you listening? No sickness there. No. Nobody up there crippled. Nobody up there suffering, my friend, from various ailments and deficiencies. No, none of that. None of that. Why? One quick trip to heaven. Thank God will fix it. Amen. Some may be troubled over their finances. But that's not nothing one quick trip to heaven will fix, because when you draw your last breath, it don't matter about your bank account, and it don't matter, my friend, about your pension, and it don't matter about your 401k. It don't matter about none of that, because you can't take none of that with you. Brother, listen, you're going to a heaven that you don't need money to buy nothing with, because everything there is free. And not only is it free, it is the best. I'm telling you, God has made the street out of transparent gold. He's made the walls out of jasper. He made the gates out of pearl. And everybody that lives there lives in their very own mansion. So why do you need money? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just telling you once again, He is showing us how that He hooks together our living and our leaving. But let me just comment right here out of chapter John 14. I think it was evident they weren't living, believing life. You don't get discouraged if you're living, believing life, no matter what's going on. Troubled heart comes when whatever's happened around your life, you don't like it. The troubled heart comes, amen. The troubled heart comes when you live by sight and feelings instead of by faith. Amen? The troubled heart in verse number 1 comes when you don't like the news that you've got. Amen. The troubled heart in verse 1 comes when there's disappointment. But they weren't living the leaving life in verse 1. They were wanting Jesus to stay here. They were wanting Jesus to stay with them. They were wanting Jesus to be there because He was indeed the best friend they ever had. He, my friend, was the answer to all their problems. He led them always in the right way. They loved to hear Him teach. He was the greatest. But now He's leaving them. And they were upset. Because they thought that He was going to leave them here and He was going to go away and that'd be the end of it. There'd be a separation there. But thank God, John 14 and verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And here's the news. I don't believe it was the report of the mansion that fired them up. I don't believe it was the report of the mansions that so answered their heart's problem. And my friend, I don't believe that. Here's what I think it was. Here's what I think it was. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. Here it is. Everybody ready? Say amen. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're not separated. We're not going to be forever separated. I'm going on a business trip. I've got to take a business trip. I came down here on business. I'm fixing to go finish that business. And then I'm going to take the report of that business back to glory. I like it. And He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One other passage before we leave this morning. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's begin our reading in verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, what is he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord. And we all know from our last text that we read what happens when he comes. We're leaving. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon thee, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, he keeps showing a contrast. He'd jump over and talk about those that are of the darkness, and then he would jump over back over and talk about us. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That's not talking about the salvation of your soul. He's talking to people that are already called brethren in verse 1. He's writing to people that's already saved. Well, then what salvation is he talking about? He's talking about when the Lord comes back and we are saved from the presence of sin. Look at it. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now watch this right here. Starting in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, that is disorderly. Deal with them. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then look at this list. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's dealing with? In verse 1 through 11, he's dealing with our leaving. Verse 12 and following, he deals with our living. Amen? I ask you again this morning in closing. I ask you this morning, what life are you living? What life are you living? What life are you projecting to others? What do they see? Do they see a living life or do they see a staying life? Do they see that you are headed out of here, that you've got a new Lord, a new life, and you're headed for a new land? Or do they see you just like they are, living for the here and now? Living for the here and now. I'm afraid that most today are not living in the light of leaving, but they're living to stay. But according to the Word of God, you're not staying. You're leaving.